tells me to avoid any legal snags by telling you that you're being recorded. What's up with the Sups Up Playful Banter podcast listeners? For our first ever remote podcast, it's Robbie and Kyle back with you again. Kyle, we've been doing this for a long time and we've never done it not in the same room.
This is our first ever remote podcast. We have called people in before, but this is the first ever one where we have not been in the same room.
That's true.
Global pandemic will do that to you.
People need to bear with us because, Kyle, you're entertaining a dog at the moment. I am discovering that I don't know how to turn off, like, my text pings that come through on my computer while still keeping the volume up to hear you. And so, there's one. Yep. Lots of people want to talk about the topic, which we will obviously get into a lot, which is the coronavirus. But while you go ahead and explain how you're living, Kyle, I'm going to figure out how to turn that dinging off.
I am feeling like a pine cone in the bike lane.
A pine cone in the bike lane. Okay. So you are feeling adventurous, maybe feeling a little bit out of place, but dangerously so. Your sheer existence could cause the downfall of someone at any moment. And you're pretty pleased about where you're situated right now, you know, with the options that may or may not lie above you. You feel like you're living out your whole life's purpose, which is to hopefully bring someone else down and cause them harm.
That is my life's purpose.
Perfect. I'm glad that we got that all straightened out. Kyle, you know who had a cool life's purpose?
Who's that?
Was Helen Brooke Taussig, who was the first female president of the American Heart Association. She, in addition to being very influential in the medical field, she was born in 1898, and so female physicians were not in vogue, were not very popular. She was actually denied from Harvard's medical school because she was a woman, and so she instead went to Johns Hopkins. She was born with dyslexia, which made it, you know, that much harder for her to overcome her significant needs as a learner. But she also, in her 30s, which is kind of crazy to think about, in her 30s, she grew deaf. And so not only did she have to overcome a reading disability, but also as a practicing doctor, she could not hear. And so one of the main things that doctors have to do, Kyle, as you know, is listen to heartbeats. And she was not able to do that. So she actually developed a new way to feel heartbeats on babies. She actually kind of specialized with children. And because of this method, it actually helped her discover what's called blue baby syndrome, which is something that I guess you don't necessarily hear super clearly when you when it comes up, but if you feel it, you can notice the different beats or something like that. I don't know. It's over my pay grade. I don't understand it. But,
but she does, and that's what's important.
Exactly. And so she actually started coming up with, she was the one who kind of discovered this and then pioneered the way to treat it, which is awesome. And then she is known for, in 1965, she became the first woman of the American Heart Association, which is basically the main thing that she is known for. She also worked closely with the Food and Drug Administration as a as an expert in the medical field to make sure that food and drugs that were being passed out were actually medically appropriate. Kyle's making fun of me.
Seems like a good thing to be doing.
Yeah. So Helen is our woman of the week. I thought it was appropriate, Kyle, because there's a lot of medical things going on right now. A lot of...
Yeah, pandemic and such.
People are following the CDC and the WHO and all these other, medical things. People are learning a lot about the human body now that they didn't care about when they were in school. But Helen is a genuine badass of the medical field.
And our woman of the week.
Yes, indeed. Kyle.
Yes.
Why don't you tell the people, we're actually in kind of, so for those that are a little behind, we are both stuck at home. You actually have to work from home. There's not much I can do from home. What is your day-to-day looking like at the moment?
I can wake up later than I normally do, which is nice. And then I let the dog out like I always do. And then I make breakfast like I always do. And then lately, I have not been showering before starting work, which is a revelation. But I try to still work in the morning, keep some sort of a normal schedule. So I'll respond to emails and all that stuff in the morning. And then at lunch, Danny comes home and we'll work out. So that was when I work out. And then I shower, eat lunch, and do a little bit more work in the afternoon. And then I walk the dog. So it's like a normal work day, but I'm home.
Right. So, and it sounds like some of the things, other than not showering, which thank you for letting us all know that that's currently
happening. I shower after lunch. It's just the shower has moved.
You have more flexibility, and you don't have to waste time traveling to and from work.
Yes, I save a lot of time, and I have more flexibility. And if I want to stop working at 4:45 instead of 5:30, I can do that, and nobody really knows or cares. So it's really more because I'm not just sitting there doing nothing at work.
That's true. You can take breaks, and you can clean your house, and you can throw the ball for the dog. Does your dog love that you're home all the time?
The dog is super excited that I am working from home right now.
All right.
Also super excited about the neighbor's dog that is also out right now.
A little bit later, let's throw a teaser in there, Kyle. We're going to give people suggestions on what they can do during those downtimes when they too are at home. Are you excited to share your list?
Yes. I mean, mine's not as much a idea list for other people as it is for me, but I suppose I can take some stuff from it. What does your day-to-day look like that you're not working?
Yes, the life of a teacher right now is very interesting because due to the nature of how suddenly all of this happened, as well as just some other circumstances that are going on, there's not much for us to do right now. A lot of parents are figuring out how difficult it is to educate their children, which I think is kind of funny, but it's difficult, and I get why they're frustrated because they want their kid to learn and they think that that's the teacher's job. But we've sent home optional assignments for kids to do and stuff, but there's no grading that goes on for that. I don't have anything to grade. There's no real point in me planning any kind of instruction because I don't know when we're going back or if we're going back. And so, I did that very briefly where I was like, hey, when we come back on this day, because originally we were supposed to go back on March 30th, mm-hmm. I was like, okay, well, we'll do this and then we'll do this. And then they're like, nope, it's actually April 28th now. So I'm giving up until, what's going.
I feel like the whole world is kind of in a limbo mode because nobody knows exactly how fast and much this thing is going to spread. So we're all just waiting to see when life is going to return to normal. And we kind of have to wait until we know more.
Yeah. Well, and what I think people are struggling to realize at the moment is one, how difficult it is to come up with things to teach. Two, it's literally illegal to assign work that some kids can do that others cannot do. And so, you know, we can't teach kids remotely because not every kid in our district has Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. And if some kids can do it and others can't, we can't punish the kids that don't have Wi-Fi for not being able to do their work.
Yeah,
we can't punish the kids that are like looking after their little siblings right now because their parents are off at work. Like, we can't punish those kids. But there's a lot of parents out there that are like, well, you know, everything's on computers now. Why can't they just post the assignments and stuff? And that's not how. Or you can't even go to Starbucks and do the work right now because Starbucks mm-hmm. won't let you sit there.
It's true.
So it's very complicated. I keep trying to like post things. I'm actually going to, here's a teaser as well, on the website, on our website, playfulbanter.org. I'm going to be throwing up all kinds of blogs into the blogosphere. And one of them will be activities that you can do with your children at home that are educational and fun.
Ooh, that's fun.
Yep.
I do feel like right now is when parents are appreciating teachers more than they ever have because they kind of have to do the job of a teacher and also their own job at the same time.
Yes. And I totally get why that is a struggle, but you know, I'm also seeing things on Twitter and stuff. It's like, I've been homeschooling my kid for 6 hours and I already think teachers should be paid $1 million a year.
Exactly.
And I'm like, sweet, we need to launch some like bond measures and stuff. Cause this is the most popular teachers have ever been.
Yeah. Coronavirus is a good PR campaign for teachers.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, I'm just kind of sitting around, you know, I've tried to come up with some kind of routine because, as you know, and people that know me, my sleep schedule can get real wonky real fast. And so if I let
myself, about that,
I will stay up until 4 a.m. and sleep until 12. No doubt about it. And so luckily my partner is keeping me kind of on a sleep schedule, and we've come up with kind of a loose routine. You know, that involves exercise and reading and cleaning the house and going outside and stuff like that, to kind of maintain our sanity. But I think that we'll probably also need to start doing like FaceTime hangouts. I need to check on everybody's pets and stuff. And, mm-hmm. you know, we need to get the group together somehow.
They do have group FaceTime now that I've never actually really used, but we could try it.
I think that we need to pull out all the stops, especially if we're all stuck in our homes until, you know, April or whatever. Yeah. I mean, I love my muse like nobody's business, but I do worry that she's going to get really frustrated with hanging out with me all the time. Because even during summer and when we are on breaks, we can go, we go places, or we, you know, go out to dinner, or we, you know, we're not just constantly, you know, stuck inside with each other all day. I feel like she's just going to get annoyed with me really fast.
Yeah. I could see that happening.
Yeah. So we'll definitely continue to make the podcast flow, especially if we find a good way to do them remotely. The people might be hungry for our content. And so stay up to date on Playful Banter.
This is a Playful Banter opportunity.
And here's some other. So here's what I think we're going to do, Kyle. As I mentioned off air, I think I am going to not be on my own Twitter very much anymore, and I'm going to try and exclusively be connecting with the world through our Playful Banter one, so that more content goes out on @2gnomes1pig on the Twitter sphere. Lots more blogs should be coming out. If you haven't checked it out, Kyle posted a blog not too long ago to mm-hmm. remind people that we do have that capability.
Playfulbanter.org.
That's right. I also think that we should find a way to do some videos, Kyle, even if we're not together.
I agree. Videos are good.
I think if we do some videos of like how we are handling our isolation, that could be fun. You know, we'll listen to the people. Maybe if it's even just quick check-in videos. I don't know. We'll have to think about it. I think that I might start live tweeting just reruns of The Office that I'm watching for the 100th time with just my thoughts. I'm going to flood people's Twitter until they start listening to me.
Yeah. Yeah, we can do challenges for each other and make each other do challenges while we're at home doing whatever.
Challenges. I like it. I think this will also be a good time for us to handle. People need help right now, Kyle, and I think that this would be a good chance for us to give advice from where we're at.
That's true.
Hit us up on the Facebook, the Twitter, the email.
That's a good point. While the listeners are at home safely social distancing, they should have some time to write us some good emails.
That's true. We're all talking about this as an opportunity to do the things we never have time for, and I'm sure for a long time on that list for people was, I really wish I had a minute to sit down and email the Playful Banter guys about my problems, but I just don't have time, and now you have time. I also think we should
do some positive things that are coming from this.
We should do some kind of March Madness bracket. I really liked on our last podcast with Jeremy and Alex how we had a nice March Madness style bracket of Survivor of childhood cartoon characters. I don't know what our next March Madness bracket should be, but I think we should do it.
That's a good one. We could do it a few different ways, which would be fun.
Yeah.
Ourselves. We could make polls on Twitter and have people vote.
Yeah, I think it's got to be social. Unless the people
get it. One veto each.
No. No, you're stupid. So all of that stuff will be running through our social media, Facebook, Twitter, as well as our website. Kyle's going to be putting up all kinds of good stuff on the Instagram as well.
All right. I will take control of the Instagram.
Yep. You're in charge. Daily gems. Uncut or cut?
See what Uncut or cut?
Yeah.
Yeah. Adam Sandler style.
I'll take what I can get. Kyle, some quick headlines. Yeah. People are being very stupid. I wrote down. I think that might have been in response to the fact that people are still going out and hanging out and partying and doing all that stuff. Yeah. What are your thoughts on partiers at this present time?
It is people being stupid, but I think it's just people not thinking the consequences of everything through. Thinking more immediately, like, I'm healthy and I'm fine, and if I get sick, then I will still probably be fine because I'm young. But it's not about that person. It's about four lines down from whoever that person has touched that then dies because you're an idiot. So I like to give people the benefit of the doubt and just think that they don't know what they're doing, but a lot of people don't know what they're doing.
Well, I would tend to agree with you, but there's also some people out there who are just that stupid and think, well, I'm not sick, and so I can't give it to anybody. And that's not how disease works.
Yes.
But, stupid is as stupid does, I guess. But it does make me mad because, we've both had to make sacrifices. You've had to make a very big sacrifice. I had to cancel a vacation,
Yeah, that's also a big sacrifice.
And so, to sacrifice our vacations and stuff to stay inside and then see other people just kind of not giving a crap about it, I kind of want to throat punch them. Just right there, swift to the Adam's apple.
Have you ever throat punched anybody before?
No, I haven't. I'm not a fighter. I'm more of a thinker.
You just fantasize about throat punching.
Correct. I think about punching people. I don't actually do it. Okay. I'm also.
In your head, though, I bet you're got pretty good form.
I do. Oh, I'm deadly in my head. I'm undefeated. I've never lost a fight in my head. Kyle, I wanted to get your thoughts and see if you can participate. It's kind of a global thing to do right now as people are locked inside their homes to go out to their porches and their balconies and play music for their neighborhoods. Do you have any plans to participate in such activities?
I don't. I don't think it's my place to choose what my neighbors should listen to.
But the videos are so cool.
I've actually not seen any of these videos.
I think it would be great if all of us dusted off those recorders that we all had to learn how to play back in like fourth and fifth grade. Mm-hmm. We all just jammed out as a neighborhood together. I think that would be wonderful. That's community.
A neighborhood recorder jam.
Yeah.
Do you still have your
phones? No, I don't still have my recorder.
See, that's where I think you're going to run into a snag.
I could get one.
How? You're socially isolated.
Amazon's not.
It's true.
Can you imagine what this world will, what will happen if mail and Amazon get shut down? I don't know.
I feel like it wouldn't be that bad. Like, what do people really need off Amazon right now?
I just ordered reporters. Puzzles.
Yeah, see, that's like, it would suck, but you wouldn't have your puzzles, and I wouldn't have a grinder for my dog's nails that I just ordered, but besides that, I think we'd be okay. Grocery stores are what we really need to be open.
I will say, I think that if you get rid of Amazon and those things, you're going to have more people leaving their homes to go find that stuff.
That is true. That is true.
So, you wouldn't send me through some. Kyle, what do you make of all of this toilet paper hoarding?
I think that it's just kind of a domino effect. Like, there was a few people that for some reason freaked out about toilet paper because they started thinking about all the essentials they need and they thought of toilet paper as an essential, which you can argue whether it is or is not. But then once that starts happening, then everyone else is like, oh God, there's no toilet paper. What if I need toilet paper? And then everyone thinks they got to go get toilet paper, and it's just a domino effect. And right now, like, I don't need toilet paper, but I'm thinking, should I pick up toilet paper if it's there just in case that in the future I'm going to need toilet paper and it's gone?
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, in all likelihood, grocery stores will stay open always because those
hopefully,
are
yes.
very necessary things. I think it would have to be – I mean, if grocery stores closed down
– we'd be in real trouble.
People
would
starve.
Station 11 apocalypse style.
Yeah. I don't know where to find where Doritos live. Like, I can't just.
I don't know how to grow any food. I have no ability to grow food.
Yeah. So, in all likelihood, even in the worst of times, grocery stores are going to stay available, which is why it's like if people would just buy what they normally buy in their normal amounts, yeah. everything would have been fine. But you're right. It is a. And we were a little guilty of. We didn't buy toilet paper, but I mean, we went to Costco the other day. Mm-hmm. We were praying, and they were counting people as they went in, partially because they want people to stay far apart from each other, but also I think to probably try and regulate and prevent people from like going crazy. Like there was somebody outside the dairy section saying you only get one butter, one milk, and one egg.
Oh wow.
Yeah, but
yeah, I mean, what you need to do, you need to have enough supplies in your house to last for 2 weeks should you get sick and not be able to leave, and that's about all you need.
Right. But people, you never ever need to buy multiple 36 packs of toilet paper.
No.
That's years worth of toilet paper.
That's a lot of toilet paper.
Yeah, okay. And I guess you can use them as currency.
Like, say this lasts for, like, 4 months, and you, for some reason, think you'd never be able to get toilet paper again, you would still not have, you would still have enough toilet paper to last you for a very long time. It'd be like half a roll per day.
Yeah. It doesn't make any sense. It's panic. It was just a panic buying. So I'm hoping that all that stuff comes back into stock, but would have been nice to, like, have a heads up on this stuff and purchase stock in like hand sanitizer and toilet paper. Those are the only things that are doing well right now.
Yeah. I mean, if you're somebody who really likes to time the market, there are some things that could have been timed if you were thinking about it, but it's not worth it.
Yeah. Okay. Kyle, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to tell the people what they can do while they're stuck in isolation during this shutdown times.
Welcome back.
Nice. Good energy.
I added a different word this time. We're back. This time I said welcome back. I thought it'd be more welcoming for the people.
That is. I feel welcomed. I feel energized. Good. I feel like I'm back. Kyle, what we're going to transition to right now. People need us. This is the content that we're here for. I believe that your wife is standing behind you creeping around. And so this is a good time.
Is she awake? Oh, she is awake. Nice.
See, this is what happens when we do things remotely. Squirrel! Kyle, the people need us. They're stuck in isolation. Some are working from home. Some are not. Regardless, if you're stuck inside... And by the way, people, you're not. You can go outside. You can go for hikes. Kyle, I think that we should go for a hike. We'll just stand 6 feet apart from each other.
Yeah, we could do a socially distant hike. I'm fine with that.
What I'm thinking, a lot of people are being smart and they're like hanging out with their neighbors, but everybody's just sitting in a driveway 6 feet apart from each other.
Yeah.
I think that that's fine.
I walk the dog every day. It's nice to get outside. The weather's very good in Portland right now.
I know. It's going to change quickly, though. So we might need to find a way to remedy this. But if people are stuck in isolation, stuck in their houses, what are some things that they can do to fend off the insanity? So we've each come up with a list of 5 things that people can do. Do you want to go first? Do you want me to go first?
I'll start it off. This is, you're going to need to, the prerequisite for my first one is you're going to have a dog. So it's really something that I'm doing is I'm working on training the dog more. We're teaching the dog new tricks. For instance, we recently taught Riley.
Dog new trick.
Yes, we taught the dog boom. So when we say boom, she plays dead.
This is a good time to mention that we are for gun control here at the Playful Banter podcast. But having gun sounds from your mouth is totally fine.
More of a bomb sound. It's not bang, it's boom.
Yeah, we're pro bombs.
Let's go bomb somebody.
Yes. Kyle, my first one, something that I mentioned to you off air, and I don't think that you're 100% behind me on it, which infuriates me, and I'm going to win you over. I have often, like even as a teacher, you know, we talk about probability, and we talk about, you know, the myth that if you flip a coin 100 times, it should be 50-50 or about 50-50, you know, 49-51 or something like that. Like, law of averages says that if you flip it 1 billion times, you should have 500 million heads, 500 million tails. I think that this is a perfect time to put that myth to the test. Sit there, flip a coin 100 times, chart it, check it, tell us your results, because I have a feeling that this is the biggest hoax in the math community that we've ever been a part of.
I'm not sure it's the math community that's causing this hoax. I think it's just like the coin community. Like a coin.
The coin community?
Yeah, because, never mind. But a coin is there's two sides to it. So there's two outcomes, and each one is equally likely to happen because of the way that a coin is built.
Yeah. What do they call
if the
those,
coin was to be weighted slightly differently, then maybe the outcomes would be different.
Well, find a good coin, put it to the test, and then try a different coin and put that coin to the test and see what happens.
Maybe that's what you should do. You should try each different type of coin you got and see which one is most weighted differently.
This is going to be an excellent day. I'm going to make a video out of it. I might even live stream it on the Playful Banter Instagram or Facebook page. I think that this is something that people need to see. You can place bets. You can do prop bets. This is like in a world without sports, this might be what we need in order to get through this. This is a competitive
thing. Give everybody who's going to bet a hint that the odds are about 50-50.
Yeah. I mean, we were at a wedding this past weekend, and without any sports, we really needed some things to bet on to get those competitive juices flowing.
What'd
you say?
You did a good job with those wedding prop bets.
Thank you. I tried to keep the people entertained. All right.
Kyle, my second thing. My second thing is to find out the best things to put in a panini press.
Tell me more. I'm intrigued.
I have been, for my wedding that has been postponed a year, the gifts have been coming regardless of the postponement. And so recently I got a 3-in-1 compact grill panini press.
Yes.
And I have been trying to figure out what the best combination of things to press in this press is. I've been pressing multiple times a day, every day. Today, for example, I pressed a turkey, cheese, and hard-boiled egg sandwich with Tapatio in there. Multiple different kinds of cheeses. It was pretty good. I've done steak in there. Then did normal waffles. So I'm trying to figure out what the best combination of pressed things are.
See, when you first mentioned that, I did not think that you were just talking about mixtures of things to put in between bread. I thought that you were talking about legitimate, like, different, like, you could put a pear in there and see what would happen. Or you could put
No, you can. You can put a pear in there. I've seen videos of, like, people putting brownie batter in, like, waffle makers and pressing that. I think we can get pretty crazy here. I'm starting off calm, and then you got to build your way up.
Kyle, this is a playful banter video if I've ever heard of one. I want you to do a segment on a day that you spend playing with the panini press.
That's true. That could be a good Instagram thing.
I like it. I think we should do it. I'm looking forward to it. My second thing is that, I don't know if this is your experience, Kyle, but all of a sudden, every single company I've ever bought something from in history wants to make sure that I'm okay during the coronavirus and to let me know that they care. I'm literally getting emails from like OtterBox and companies that I have never gotten emails from before. I did not know how many lists I was on until this thing. And so I think a good use of everybody's time is to sit there and unsubscribe from every single thing that comes in.
That is a good use of everybody's time, because they all, like, I've not once thought, I wonder what this company is doing about coronavirus.
Nope.
I've never once thought, I wonder what Bank of America is doing about coronavirus. I wonder what Lime Scooters is doing about coronavirus. Like, I don't care.
A lot of them are reminding me that they care about me and my well-being. And I'm like, no, you don't. You want me to spend money at your thing. And that's all you should care about. So, bunch of jamokers.
A bunch of jamokers.
That's right. What's your tomorrow, Trace?
I want to learn the rules of rugby and cricket.
That's something that I should do too. It'd
right?
be there's, easier if I could sit and watch it, but I don't think they're
playing. Yeah. At one point there was a rugby league that was one of like the last things standing. I'm not sure if it still is, but either way, I feel like this is a good opportunity to learn some rules to some games that I've always wanted to learn the rules to and just never have, because there's always other sports that I'm watching instead.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That would be interesting. I want to see a report. Maybe there's another video. I want you to do a report on it. Tell me all the rules. Tell me all the highlights and the major people I need to know.
You want a report?
You do. You pick one and I'll do. Yeah, you do one and I'll do one, and we'll report back to the people.
Yeah, that's a classic teacher move.
I know. I need to teach.
What's your next thing on your list?
I'm coming up with curriculum for kids I don't even know right now on Facebook.
That's always fun. So what do you got next?
I think that, and this one is inspired by my muse, but she is very good at watercolors. And she has made some really cool little postcards and stuff. And she's always been much more into the writing, like handwritten notes to friends and family and all that stuff, which I think is kind of a lost art form. You know, now we just text each other.
I've always thought that mail is way more fun than any other sort of communication.
It is, which is, you know, why it's sad that we don't do it anymore. And I will fully admit that I am one of the people that's too lazy to do it because it's so much faster and more convenient to not do those things. But, you know, so I think that one, creating your own postcards would be a lot of fun. And then you can also send, you know, write a nice little note, like, you know, hey, butthole, thinking of you, hope that you're doing good, and then send it to one of your butthole friends.
One of your buttholes.
Yeah.
One of your multiple buttholes. I think that's a good one.
I think that people like getting mail.
For sure.
What's your number four?
My number four is to figure out the optimal work from home outfit. I've been trying to figure out the best way to do it because I want to take advantage of the fact that I'm working from home so I don't have to wear normal work clothes. But I don't want to go so casual that I feel like I'm not actually working and not actually being productive. I feel like if I'm just in like pajamas, then I don't feel like I'm in the work mood. So I'm trying to find the right balance between taking advantage of not having to be at work while still being productive.
I think that if you're wearing pants, you're doing it wrong.
See, I disagree with that. I think pants are imperative.
I totally agree with what you're saying. That's why I've struggled to work from home in the past because it's just too comfortable. You know, I'm not very productive. I don't get in a work state of mind when I'm in my PJs mm-hmm. and like I've rolled out of bed, what I'm wearing and all that. I think that you go button up shirt. I think you put some kind of coat or jacket on. No tie. You don't need a tie. Yeah. But yeah, you know, something nice. Long socks. No pants.
No. See, I've done almost the exact opposite of what you're saying there. To me, the pants are the most important thing. Can't go sweatpants, but I don't want to go too fancy pants. So it's like jeans or like jogger type pants, something that's like lifestyle casual, and then just like a solid t-shirt or something, not like a raggedy t-shirt, but like a good going out t-shirt, and I think you're in a good spot. That's what I found so far, but I'm working on it.
I totally disagree, and here's why. When else in history are you going to have a chance to get paid while you're working to not have pants on? I totally agree with your premise that you need to be in like a work state of mind and that you should put some things on that get you into a work state of mind. But people, find a way to do it without pants. This is your one chance for no pants.
I see your point. Yes, maybe I will spend one day pantsless, but then the rest I will use my optimum work from home outfit.
That's another video idea. Be careful.
Yeah, I'm not sure that's a good idea.
Well, I mean, put on some appropriate underwear. I'm not advocating for no underwear. You know, you gotta be sanitary. But I think that this is your chance for no pants, people. I'm gonna keep saying it. Go for it.
It's something. What's your number four?
I think this is a combination because if you do it right, it should be a combination. I think people need to take this time and opportunity to use all their brain power and resources and create a great Rube Goldberg / blanket fort combo in their house.
That's a good one.
I think I lumped them together because they're construction oriented. I think you can do them individually or you can go for it and do them at the same time. Rube Goldbergs are one of the things that are also going viral right now in the absence of sport. But I think that if you've got the time and you've got the means, you go ahead and you create a cool looking fort as well as a Rube Goldberg machine. Google them.
I'm with you. Yeah, I think it's a good way to get creative and make sure your brain doesn't go to mush, and it's fun.
Yeah, like you could use a whole day coming up with a good Rube Goldberg, especially if you have stairs in your house.
And dominoes,
yeah, you kind of only got to use what you've got around, I guess, but that's where the creativity comes in.
Yep, exactly. My fifth one is pretty boring because I was just trying to come up with a fifth one. I want to write a book.
Yes.
All of my life, I've just felt like I wanted to have written a book at some point, and I feel like now is as good of a time as any to actually write a book.
Or at least get your story idea hammered out. Your plot.
Exactly. Get a start on this book.
I think that that we should collaborate on this because I think it's a good idea, and I want to make sure I get some money out of it if it does take off.
All right.
We could open a publications arm of McGowan Enterprises.
Playful Banter Publications.
Playful Banter Pubs.
Nah, I like the full word. Pubs makes it sound like you had a bar.
That sounds like someone that would put pants on a day that they don't have to. my fifth and last one is invent a new sport that can be played competitively within the confines of your own house. Bonus points if you can find a way to make it collaborative. Like if you can standardize it to the point where it's like everybody uses a solo cup, everybody uses a ping pong ball, and everybody has things spaced out and whatever. But yeah. I think we need sports right now, and we can't have them, and so we have to find a way.
That's a good one. Yeah, that's a good idea. We should do that. There's another Playful Banter video.
Well, even just the trials of it could be an entertaining video, even if they don't work.
Exactly.
We're the creators of Malibu, damn it.
Yeah. We've done this before. We have experience.
We just need to find things that we both have in our houses.
That is the challenge. And things that most people would have in their houses so that it can spread.
Yeah, Kyle, I'm going to need you to stop working from home for a little bit so that you can really do what I need you to do and commit the way that I need you to commit.
Yeah, well, if you can start paying me a competitive salary, then I'm in.
Eventually, if you do a good job and this takes off, we both know that the dream is for you to be able to use Playful Banter as your salary. This is your leap. This is the time to leap, my friend. There's nothing to sell.
Yeah, it's a time when the world's about to go into a global recession is when you want to leap.
That means there's a lot of openings.
Means there's a lot of closings.
There's going to be a lot of real estate available. Just saying. Okay, Kyle, are you ready to enter Robbie's rumination rec room?
I have never been more ready in my life. Also, can't say I've ever been less ready. I think this is just about the same amount of readiness I've always had.
That statement right there pretty much sums up you as a person.
All right, sock them to me.
Kyle, if you were a Disney princess, which one would you be?
Moana.
Why?
I like the water. I like to say make way.
I've never heard you say make way.
Yeah, but I could start.
That's it. You like the water?
I just like Moana, and so she's the first one that came to mind. Who you got?
That is a good one, actually. Don't you not answer the Kyle's question corner questions?
And then you get mad at me, and then other people get mad at me. And so if you want Robbie's rumination rec room to be any better, then you would obviously answer the question.
Ooh, fine. Pocahontas.
Ooh, good one. Mulan. Also a good one.
Maybe Jasmine.
Want to get Jasmine business to defeat the Hun.
Jasmine's got a tiger, though.
You couldn't handle a tiger.
What? That's ridiculous. You've never sounded dumber in your whole life. Of course I could.
You can't even handle a house cat.
I can handle it. I just acknowledge it's not even stupid.
Much less a jungle cat.
It's friendly, unlike most house cats.
No chance at handling a tiger. What's your next question?
I guess Pocahontas had the raccoon. So. Anyway. Kyle, this is one of the morality questions, but I've adapted it to fit our current circumstances. If you had to steal toilet paper from your neighbor or be stuck with no toilet paper indefinitely, what is your decision?
Oh, I would be stuck with no toilet paper.
Really?
There's plenty of ways to use alternatives to get done what needs to be done. And why would I steal from my neighbor? That's not very nice.
What if your neighbor is, you have it on good authority that your neighbor's one of those people hoarding 97 rolls of toilet paper in their garage? This is your chance to go incognito, Mission Impossible style. Like, they're not good people, Kyle. These are bad people that are hoarding toilet paper from the rest of us.
Then I would go ask them if I could borrow some of their toilet paper, some of their excess toilet paper. Maybe make a little deal with them, or I'll give them some Cheez-Its and they give me toilet paper. I don't know.
And what if they said no? What if they said, okay, $500?
I go back to the first option of using alternatives.
Really? You're going to let them win?
Would you steal the toilet paper?
Hell yeah. If they were one of the people that caused the toilet paper shortage and then they try to extort me by making me charge a ridiculous amount for toilet paper, I absolutely will put on an all-black outfit. I will go in under the secrecy of night. I will break in. I will go over all of the lasers and, you know, all the Ocean's 11 type of stuff. And I will get that toilet paper and justice will be had. And I'm disappointed in you.
I think that the fact that you believe that you could handle a tiger and you could go over and under the lasers in some sort of a spy mission for toilet paper is false.
I'm upset with you. That is not friendship.
I mean, number I think three. sometimes friendship is honesty. What's number three?
I'm so upset I can't even talk right now. If you had 5 words to say to people that have hoarded hand sanitizer, what would those 5 words be? Get angry.
You shouldn't have done that.
Wow. Kyle, we're here to entertain the people.
So I'm actually pretty proud of myself that the first thing that I thought of was 5 words.
Yeah, that's a win. I give that to you. It was 5 words. You didn't break a rule.
Yeah. I mean, if I thought about this more, then I'd probably come up with something sort of you belly jiggler, but now I got...
That's what I wanted. Start your next 5 words with you belly jiggler, and then you got 3 more. Come on. Speak from your heart.
I know. That one wasn't appropriate.
So?
I'll cut this out, but it's going to be you belly jiggler.
Yes, we're not cutting that out. That's exactly what you should say. I'm so much prouder of you right now than I was after the first 2 questions. That's what Robbie's Rumination Rec Room brings out. That's gold. Let's keep it.
What's your 5 words?
Now all I can think of is your 5 words. Hey, dipstick, your mama's slapped. I don't know.
Slapped.
I don't know. Yeah. Something like that. I would never harm anyone's mother, but, you know.
But if they're hoarding hand sanitizer.
Well, that's for time. I'd slap them. But
that's true.
And if they were someone's mother, well, I wouldn't do that either. So
he turned to the kid.
Yep. Okay, we are going to take our last break, and then when we come back, we are going to wrap it up.
Welcome back again. See what I did there? I added the again this time.
Wow, you are in fuego today. Having this distance between us really leaves you a lot more room for you to shine, I think, with your energy.
Yep.
And your
mm-hmm.
You're a whole new man.
Yep, room for creativity.
Still not making any sense, but that's okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But we'll move on to our Playful Banter tweet of the week, which comes to us from @DavidChristmas. Although there's no I in David, so it's David Christmas. And it was on March 15th. It said, Day 4 with no sports. Marble racing is intense. And it was just a video of marble racing, and I was all about it.
That's exactly what I'm talking about with us inventing a game.
It was like a 3-minute long video. I was enthralled the whole time. The marble I was pulling for pulled in the lead in like the last 50 seconds, but then it gave it up again and I was heartbroken. It was a good time.
Was it the baby blue? The baby blue one.
The baby blue was the one that won. I was pissed.
Yeah.
I was like the Yankees of marble racing.
It's the Thomas the Tank Engine. It's the little one that could. It was an underdog. Baby blue never wins. What a moment. Whose birthday we got?
We got a happy birthday to Adam Levine, who turns 41 today. We got Grover Cleveland, who's over 100 and dead. And
I like that that's what we mentioned about old Grover.
And Queen Latifah, who's a half century today, the big 5-0.
Queen Latifah's 50. Look at good Queen Latifah.
Right?
She was the queen before the queen. Not like that queen, but...
Yeah, not like the royal queen.
No, we don't ever actually care about the royal queen. Kyle, you said we can't go to Canada and run away? They closed the border.
I mean, it'll reopen again at some point, and then we can live our dreams.
I feel like this is our chance to go, though.
Well, clearly it's not.
All right.
I feel like there will be another time.
Okay, Kyle, how did you feel about our first remote podcast without
editing? I thought it was interesting. I think there were some pros. I think there were some cons. But we're gonna improve. I think it will only go up from here. And good things are coming in the rest of this social distancing global pandemic. That's a weird thing to say. Good things are coming for us in this podcast.
Way to look on the bright side of the tens of thousands of deaths.
The audio from our Skype call got cut out here, so I'll just end it with screw Frankie Muniz and never fear the bacon.